From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Compromise tax cut legislation passed by the House now goes to President Obama's desk, and he's expected to sign the measure today. The bill extends tax breaks for Americans at all income levels for 2 years. NPR's Andrea Seabrook says that could come back to haunt the president.
Extending these tax cuts 2 years puts the fight at what tax rates should be smack in the middle of a presidential campaign, and people on both sides of the aisle argued for and against that.
NPR's Andrea Seabrook. Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner of New York was a strong opponent of the compromise. He says he believes congressional Republicans got the better of the deal.
The Republicans turned out to be, frankly, better poker players than the president. You know, they only really wanted two things this legislative session, and they got them both, and that was the increase of the estate tax and the increase in tax cuts for the very wealthy. They've got it. Now it's just on to the things they want to cut, things like health care and the like.
Weiner was on CBS's The Early Show. Senate Democrats have abandoned their effort to win passage of a compromise spending bill to fund government agencies through next September. The inclusion of billions of dollars in so-called earmark projects for individual lawmakers was the kiss of death for the bill. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says many Republicans, including Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell, had requested earmarks, but then reversed course and shunned the bill when it became clear that American voters opposed such projects.
They know who they are. And in the last 24 hours, they've walked away from the ability for us to complete this legislation.
Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is in Afghanistan today meeting with U.S. commanders. His visit comes a day after the release of details from the White House review of U.S. strategy in Afghanistan. Mullen says he agrees with the conclusion that U.S.-led forces there are making gains.
We have made significant progress with respect to al-Qaeda after over the course of the last year since the president originally announced the strategy, and we fully intend to keep that pace up and that focus.
Mullen says it would help if Pakistan's military could shut down Taliban hideouts in that country. Mexico's attorney general insists the crackdown on drug cartels is showing progress. He cites the seizure of more than $11 billion worth of drugs, but more than 30,000 people have been killed in drug-related violence since the crackdown began. Drug gangs often use weapons stolen from gun dealers in border states. Gun store owner Jim Pruitt in Houston told the BBC about a recent break-in at his shop.
They pulled up in front of the store, took a large boulder, threw it through the bottom half of the front door, and were into the store and out in less than 3.5 minutes. They took 12 Glock pistols, and they took 6 military AR-style AR-15s.
Federal agents say Mexican drug cartels are also recruiting people in the U.S. to buy guns for them. Wall Street, stocks are down. The Dow is down 24 points at this hour. This is NPR News. A new analysis of census data shows that the high cost of living in California makes that state barely affordable for most homebuyers and renters. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports homeowners in California have to spend a greater percentage of their earnings on housing than residents of other states.
More than half of California's mortgage-holding homeowners spend more than 30% of their monthly income on housing. The same is true for renters. Paying 30% of monthly income is a conventional measure of affordability. The numbers come from the Census Bureau's American Community Survey. The average California homeowner spends almost $2,300 a month, while the national average is just $1,500. The sale of new and existing homes and condos dropped from a year ago. More than 37% of existing California homes sold in November had been foreclosed on during the past year. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
The government's toughest enforcement tool for coal mines considered too dangerous to operate gets its first court test today. NPR's Howard Berkus reports the mine in Kentucky is the focus of the federal court hearing.
The hearing involves Massey Energy's Freedom Mine No. 1 in Pike County, Kentucky, which is the target of an unprecedented attempt to get a federal court injunction forcing compliance with mine safety regulations. That's the toughest action the Labor Department can take against a mine it says is so unsafe it puts miners' lives at risk every day. Massey disputes that and wants a federal judge in Kentucky to dismiss the case, arguing that the Labor Department failed to use other enforcement tools first. Massey has already announced it will close the mine. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
And I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington. Support.